You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Father God, once again, we pray that you take us aside from the hurry and the rush of things, that for these few minutes we might be hedged in, that the Holy Spirit might minister the things of Christ to the individual heart here, that we might worship you in spirit and truth. Consequently, we look to you for grace and your cleansing as you sanctify our efforts here this morning. We thank you at the outset for your faithfulness in this matter, because we ask it in the name for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. To pull our thinking together now, incidentally, before we get started, let me say this. I hope we can finish Acts 20 today. If we can't, we'll have to do it next Sunday. But if we do finish it, next Sunday we will start the laws of internal interpretation of Scripture. I know some of you sometimes have had a hard time in studying the Bible. Now, there's certain internal laws. If you follow them, the Bible will open itself up. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher. And that's what we want to begin to deal with next Sunday, providing we finish Acts today. Pray about it. But to pull our thinking together now for these few minutes, we've come a long journey through the book of Acts. I don't know how many months we've been in it, but I think 6 or 7 months. And it's been a pleasant journey as far as I'm concerned. I hope the rest of you enjoyed it. At long last now, Paul is ready to make the last leg of his travels to Rome. You remember last week we saw he was shipwrecked on the Isle of Malta. The barbarous people, not barbarians really, but anybody that didn't speak Greek was a barbarian. That's all it meant. They weren't wild people or anything like that. Actually, they were Phoenicians. But in any case, as they came ashore, these people, the land people, helped them in their hour of crises. And Paul was gathering sticks. And a venomous beast, snake, latched onto his hand. And he simply shook it off in the fire. Now, there must be a reason why we can't shake off snakes today when they bite us and go on about our business. And one of the laws of hermeneutics will show us why next week, but we'll just tell you in passing, it won't cost you anything extra, that administrational change has taken place since the book of Acts. We're going to see that very plainly. And because most people don't realize this, there are many conflicting things in amongst Christian people. Many different positions are taken. The world calls this contradictions in the Scripture, but a failure to rightly divide the Word has created this problem. And this is one of the things. Today we obviously will not shake off a snake in the fire and walk on off as nothing happened. Whereas in this time it was authorized by God, and I quote, "These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall do what? They cast out demons, speak with other tongues. They shall take up what? Serpents." There are people in this country who practice that in the hills and the wilds of Tennessee and Kentucky. But they die too, like everybody else. You see, you have to recognize what is written to us, what was written for another administration. We'll see that very plainly before we get through. Not only that, but no harm came to him, and course, the pagans here thought he was a god. I'm sure he straightened them out. Doesn't tell us that. Doesn't tell us of any conversions. But at the same time, inasmuch as the people laid him down with many gifts, we see that there must have been some fruit here. In any case, the governor of the island, his father was sick, and Paul was used of God to heal him. Not only that, but everybody in the island who was diseased, you'll notice that in verse 9. Nobody was not healed because he didn't have faith. Everybody was healed because Paul exercised an authority that was operative at that time. And we'll see the contrast of that when we come out of Acts, how that Paul could not heal after that. In any case, the time has come. They've been 3 months now on the island, and the ship with a sign of Castor and Pollux, incidentally, these are the twins of Zeus, a pagan god that these signs of this ship was named after. We quite frequently see these pagan signs around today. We just don't recognize them, but they're still around. In any case, they're on their way, and you'll notice as we've gone through the book of Acts how days, months, and years are mentioned so that we can know exactly where we are in history as to the time element. We're right now at this point in time in the book of Acts, 62, between 62 and 63 A.D. We can be wrong 6 months to a year, but that's all. We can pin it right down all the way through. Notice verse 15. I went down that Appia to that road that goes to Appia Forum there, and the three taverns. Appia is a little town about 40 some odd miles south of Rome, and the three taverns is about 11 miles between that town and the city of Rome. This is a road that's one of the oldest roads in the United States, in the world, that's still operative. It's blacktop today. It wasn't blacktop then. Verse 16, it says, we came to Rome. Remember, when the first revealed to Paul the city of Ephesus, he was going to Rome. Been a long time, but God is faithful. They've come to Rome. He's here. As was custom in that day, the first thing that happened, they called for the elders of Israel. As 1 Thessalonians 17, Acts 17 says, as his manner was, always went to the Jew first. Why don't we do that today? Must be a reason. In any case, they've come there. They called the elders of Israel. Verse 20. And you'll notice what he calls their attention. He says, for the hope of Israel am I in this chain. Verse 20. Now, in the first chapter of Acts, you remember, Peter asked the question, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? This was the hope of Israel throughout the ages, called the Golden Age, that they looked forward to, when Messiah would rule on this planet in his bodily presence. It was the hope of all that nation, when they would become the channel of blessing, whereby all Gentile nations would be blessed. This is why Jesus said salvation is of the Jew. They were to be God's instrument. Back in Exodus chapter 19, they were to be a holy people, a peculiar people under the Lord. To this day, they've never been that. They will be one day. But that was what was in prospect all through the book of Acts. The hope of Israel. It was burning bright even in the 28th chapter. Paul said, for the hope of Israel am I in this chain. There's an appointed time, you'll notice, in verse 23. Appointed him a day. That's, they appointed him a day. But God had appointed them a day. That's the real truth of the matter. And this is the day. This is one of the most important days in all Jewish history. Very few Gentiles know this, and no Jews. Notice what he preached to them from. He preached to them from the law and the prophets and from Moses. And he preached the subject matter concerning Jesus and the kingdom. That kingdom was ready to be set up all through the book of Acts. It all turned on the response or rejection of that nation. Paul preached to them, notice how long. Early morning to late at night, verse 23. That's the longest preaching session in all the Bible. It's hard for some of you to keep awake for 30 minutes. Now here, can you imagine all day long session? One of the great preachers of early America, as far as the history goes, was Jonathan Edwards. And one of his famous sermons was the sinner in the hands of an angry God. That sermon lasts about 3 hours. It's written out in longhand. This old man, according to history, never smiled. He never did anything. He never had any emotions. Nothing to attract to the flesh at all. He wrote his sermons all out in longhand, and got in the platform and read them for 3 hours. Can you imagine it? But the reading of that word was so forceful by the Spirit of God. It says in history that people took hold of the pews and cried out to God for mercy. I don't know whether they did that because it's 3 hours long for what he said. But in any case, that's what it said. That was the way this nation was born, under that sort of a ministry. Paul preached from early morning till late at night concerning the kingdom and the law and the prophets. He never went beyond that. Don't lose that point. And he notice the results. Verse 25. They could not agree among themselves. When this was so, Paul began to speak to them now and announce to them God's verdict toward that nation. And he quoted the 6th chapter of Isaiah to them. You have eyes to see with, you will not see. You have ears to hear with, you will not hear. Verse 28. Therefore, be it known unto you that this salvation, this word sent here, is the Greek word apostello. It's the verb form of the noun apostle. It means heavenly authorization. This salvation now has the heavenly authorization of God to the Gentile. Up until that moment of time, the only vessel that God had as people were concerned was the Jew. Salvation is of the Jew. That statement turned the whole thing around. Beginning at that time, from the destruction of Jerusalem until this present day, it has been the Gentile who's been the keeper of the oracles of God. It's been the Gentile who has been the promoter of the words of God. It's been the Gentiles who written the commentary. It's been the Gentiles who did the translation, not the Jew. Not only is this true, but I want you to notice afresh, we've been over this many times, but the best teacher I ever set at his feet said the way to teach is to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And I want you to turn with me to Ephesians real quickly. This is the first letter, chronology-wise, not canon-wise, but chronology-wise, Ephesians is the first letter written after the Acts period. Now keep in mind how Acts closed, for the hope of Israel. But notice Paul in Ephesians 3:1. Now you don't have to be a theologian, just use the good common sanctified sense that he gave you. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for the hope of Israel. Not at all. Chapter 3, verse 1. It's the hope has been the whole thing has changed now. Paul refers to this as a revelation. Notice, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you. Now keep in mind that Paul spent 3 years at Ephesus, the longest stint of ministry in his whole life. He spent 3 whole years there. Now he writes to them concerning this, as he goes on to say, how by revelation he made known unto me this secret, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the secret of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Down in verse 9. Why? Because this mystery was from the beginning of the ages, was hid in God. Verse 8. It's the last phrase in verse 8. It's the unsearchable. Actually, the Greek word there is untrackable. You cannot trace it down from the Old Testament. Why? Verse 9. Because it was hid in God, the last clause, not hid in the Scriptures. This is why it's important to remember that everything that was preached throughout the whole of the book of Acts was based upon the promises of God to Israel. Now we have a revelation from God addressed to who? The Gentiles. A secret that was never made known but was hid in God from the beginning of the ages. Now this is why the book of Ephesians in the first chapter begins with these words. Verse 4. According as he chose us in him, and underscore that word, before the foundation of the world. Now all scripture up to this point in time is in another context entirely. In the context of since or from the foundation of the world. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 35. This is Jesus speaking concerning the writings of the prophets. I will open my mouth in parables. I'll utter things which have been kept secret, not before, but from or since the foundation of the world. It'll be interesting if you take a concordance and see the distinctiveness. Everything in the Bible from Genesis to the Ephesian epistle, everything in the writings of the 12 apostles, the book of Revelation, is in the context of things since or from the foundation of the world. That is the revealed prophetic plan of God. Everything in the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus, are in the context of things before the foundation of the world. Think about that. The hidden purpose of God, and the reason you're in these pews today, is because God, in His infinite wisdom, looked down the course of time and ordained that you be here on September the 28th, 1980. That's why you're here. Now, we got a little finite mind, so don't try to reason that out. God has not asked us to understand it all. He's asked us to believe it. That's what faith is all about. See, faith is not something but sight. We walk how? By faith, not by sight. And how does that faith come? Faith cometh by how? The hearing. Not by our experiences. And beloved, today there's so much emphasis upon the experience. And I'm not knocking the experience. It's a wonderful thing to have an experience with the Lord. But don't build your groundwork on that. Build it upon thus saith the Lord. One should notice also, not only is the change of administration in the Gentile hands, but the supernatural things that were so commonplace in the book of Acts are no longer operative. Now, this does not mean that God never performs a miracle today. Certainly He does. But it's an individual thing. It's not an administrative thing. You cannot say, well, God's going to do this, because you don't know that. Because everything God is doing today is a secret. We just read that a while ago. It's the untrackable riches of Christ. Think back in your own life. It's only as you look back in retrospect that you can begin to see God's handiwork in your life. Everything He's doing is secret. This is why Romans 8 says that all things work together for good to them that love God. You can't trace them out. There's no way. Notice what happens, though, after the book of Acts. Turn to 2 Timothy. Verse 20, chapter 4. Erastus, verse 20, 2 Timothy 4. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum, what? Sick. You would never catch Paul, even one of his beloved workers, sick anywhere. Look at 1 Timothy. Take chapter 5, verse 23. Timothy had stomach trouble, evidently. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your weaknesses, physical weaknesses. That's natural means, beloved. That's not supernatural. Philippians. Now, these are all prison letters. Verse 26, chapter 2. Well, read verse 25, would it? 25 through 27. Philippians 2. I suppose it necessary to send unto you Epaphroditus, my brother and my companion, laboring and fellow soldier, but your messenger, he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been sick. And indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This was an act of God's mercy that the man was healed. It was not something that Paul just said, laid his hands on him, he got healed. He'd been sick a long time. And the folks back home was worried about it. Paul had been in prayer about it. He said God had mercy and spared him. Yeah. But they never, in the book of Acts, never anywhere. Fact of the matter is, Paul was so overcome with people trying to get healed, he didn't have time to do any ministry. So he said, "Tell what you do." This is when he was at Ephesus. He said, "You just send your handkerchiefs in here, and I'll touch them and send them back to you, and that's all there is to it." A lot of radio preachers do that today. They don't have any authority for it, but they do it anyway. I don't know how many of them are effective, but it'd be interesting to check them out. But in the book of Acts, never one time, it did not depend upon those people. It depended upon the authority that God gave to God's people for that time, because the government of God was operative. You see? God's government is not operative today in that way. Someone said to me, "Well, don't you believe that God's ruling?" Well, if he is, he sure had let things get an awful mess. Beloved, this is man's day. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 for your proof text on that. This is man's day. This is a day in which man is allowed to govern. That's why we have human government. We have had since the days of Noah, when the human government was first established. We've been living in man's day. Man's been using every type of a government he can think of, and it's been disastrous all the way through. It always has been, it always will be, because man always falls far short. Our own government is probably the greatest demonstration of a liberty that people have had. And the only reason it was is because in its beginning it recognized the Creator. And the Declaration of Independence sounds out the clarion call clear. You see? But as wonderful as our government was, and the wonderful thing that started it had, it still shows the frailty of humanity, you see. And until God takes the governing reins, I don't mean that God's abdicated, don't take the wrong picture. If man gets in God's way, I assure you that he intervenes. But he's given man all the rope he wants. And you know what happens? Man hangs himself every time. You see, until you recognize these distinctions in Scripture, there's no way that we can reconcile all that God has to say. The wonderful thing about that is, as far as we're concerned, that God has addressed us. Think about that. We have some private mail in this book. This Bible, all of it, all scriptures God breathed, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be perfectly, completely equipped unto all good works. We believe that. But unless you rightly divide it, you've got nothing but contradictions. You've got nothing but error and division. Once you begin to see the difference between the revealed plan of God and the hidden purpose of God, then the Bible comes together in perfect harmony. No problem. Well, I run over time. No, I haven't. Just this 12 o'clock. I've enjoyed this journey through Acts. I hope you have. I hope you appreciate that God has a calling for you that's distinct from what it was prior to the Ephesian letter. He has a calling and raised you up and seated together in the heavenlies far above. Do you know that there's nowhere in the Bible that God ever said that about anybody else? Think about that. For the first time, you discover in the Ephesian letter that God's people of this time have been raised up and seated together in the far above heavens. Think about that. That was a secret, never made known. There are many other things that go under that great body of truth. We no longer depend upon the promises that God made to Israel. And many saints today claim those promises made to Israel. It's time, beloved, that we restore stolen goods. It is written, thou shalt not steal. We've been stealing from Israel through centuries. We don't have to steal from them. We got our own shoes. I remember statement now closed. Donald Barnhouse died, a very excellent preacher, some years back. He had a tremendous ministry. And the man called to fill his shoes in the platform, the pulpit. I'll never forget a remark he made. He said in his first sermon, he said, he looked out on that audience, very critical, because they've been listening to a man who knows the book and knows how to teach it. This young man came. He said, I don't want you to expect me to fill Mr. Barnhouse's shoes. I'm not even going to attempt to it. I'm going to wear my own shoes. You see, that's the point. We don't have to take Israel's shoes. We got our own pair. We got our own that's addressed to us, that's our personal mail. All the Bible is for us, but this is our personal, private mail. Every promise that's set in there, you can claim. That's your inheritance. Just as the promises made to Israel is her inheritance. We don't have to rob from them. We don't have to steal from them. I think we got the best deal. Providing you have Christ for your Savior. Father God, thank you for this wonderful vacation trip through the journeys of the Apostle Paul as energized in the Spirit of God. May your own here this morning rejoice in the calling, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus into the heavens. If there is, however, somebody here who does not know Jesus, may a spirit of restlessness become that one until they come to rest in Christ. Thank you for attending to everything that is needed in every heart here. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.